deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la.
And there's a little bit of Nat King Cole. And this is The Morning Show. Good morning, KRFY listeners, and thanks for tuning in to the KRFY Morning Show. I'm Susie Prez here today with my fabulous co-host, Chris Bessler.
That fabulous is your word solely. How are you today, Susie?
I'm good. We got here in this cold. It's becoming more cold as the day goes on. But today is Wednesday, December 21st. What's the good news about today, Chris?
Well, today we are having our annual Reason for the Season show. It's the holiday. It's Christmas. And we have two guests in our studio from our local faith community. We have Pastor Catherine Lyle from the United Methodist Church. Pastor Catherine, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And we also have Pastor Steve Heinzen from the Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church. Pastor Steve, thank you for being here.
Glad to be here on this tropical morning.
It's well.
A little taste of the
tropics. Yeah, it could give you a whiplash if you've been in the tropics, I'll tell you that. But we're going to be talking about the upcoming holiday and what the true meaning of Christmas really is. And it's the biggest holiday that we have here, and it takes over everything in our lives for a period of weeks, even months for some folks. But how do we boil that down into its essence? And that's kind of what we want to talk about today.
Right, from the full spectrum of the Christmas holiday thing to boiling it down. I like that. It's also the winter solstice.
That's today, yes.
Yeah. So we're now going into winter.
Yeah.
Get that.
But the days get longer.
That's right.
That's the good news right there, Pastor Steve. You've got it. And we can start celebrating. I think we're going to have sun today, but let's hear the weather from the National Weather Service. It's going to get cold. We have a wind chill warning. So patchy blowing snow, partly sunny today, then gradually becoming sunny and cold, with temperatures falling to around -3. This is from the National Weather Service. It's one that I think they are up to date on. So by 5 p.m. tonight will be a wind chill of a -18. So that means stay bundled up, stay safe, know what you're doing, have emergency stuff in your car.
And with that, let's talk about today's main topic. I thought we'd start this year with a little bit of a different start, and that is, Pastor Catherine, you're new to town.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you wound up here, and I want to do the same with Pastor Steve.
Oh, okay. Thank you. My name is Catherine Lyle, and I grew up mostly Catholic till about the age of 13. Had a pretty tumultuous life. I rebelled in the best way an Irish Catholic can and became a Protestant. So around 13, went to United Methodist Church, met George Abrams. About the age of 17, I had been in and out of foster care. I ran away from home, and George Abrams took me in with his wife, Jan. She's a social worker. Stayed connected, really struggled with church, and had deep questions, though. Went to Eastern, graduated when I was 19 with my degree in government. Thought I could change the world by being in government. That didn't work out. Had some deep questions, went and got my master's of philosophy degree with my emphasis in biomedical ethics from WSU, and still loved the church, but had a lot of more questions. Later found myself working in nonprofit domestic violence shelters, Habitat for Humanity, different social work agencies, and then found myself back at Manitou United Methodist for several years and worked in children's ministries, guest preaching, and Claremont School of Theology in California offered me a full ride to go to seminary. So I went down there and did seminary, flying back and forth. My husband and I have been together for 16 years, and we have two little boys, an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. They're at Washington Elementary. But in the Methodist tradition, we're an appointment system. So the bishop tells you where you're going to go, and that's where we went. So last year I was serving Potlatch, Elmore United Methodist Church. And this year I'm serving Sandpoint United Methodist and Bonner's Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get to stay in Sandpoint? Can you petition the bishop to say, we've landed in our home, we'd like to stay?
Yeah, there's a little push. I'm a provisional elder, so in the Methodist Church, that basically means I have to prove my stuff, prove, you know, that God's grace is with me and that I can have fruits of my labor. And so I'm really at their will, but I imagine they're going to keep me here at least 2 to 3 years just because it's unsettling to a church to get a new pastor. So I imagine we'll be here a little while.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor Steve, Christ our Redeemer Lutheran Church, mm-hmm. tell us a bit about your background as well.
Well, I grew up in the Midwest, so what it looks and feels like outside is something I'm very used to, and spent 7 years in Alaska, mm-hmm. so I'm actually quite at home in this. But anyway, I grew up in Iowa, well, around the Des Moines area, went to college at Iowa State University. My first degree, bachelor's degree, was in vocal music education, so I was trained to be a teacher, both K through 12. Then went to Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, Missouri. And from there, it's been 26 years of serving as a pastor at a number of places around the country, predominantly in Nebraska. Then I spent 7 years up in Alaska, which was an absolutely incredible experience in an area where there were a lot of military and a lot of oil field workers. So as you might imagine, there's a lot of transition. 40-50% of the congregation would flip over every few years. So it was an interesting blend, and then ended up in Washington, and now I'm in the beautiful area of the panhandle of Idaho. Absolutely love it here in Sandpoint. I've been at Christ Our Redeemer now for coming up on 6 years as of Easter. Just getting to know the people. I'm a hiker. I'm a biker. I love getting out in the mountains. That's my happy place, if you want to call it that. And just love this area. I love the snow. I love the greenery, just the hills, the lakes. It's a very good fit, and the wonderful people in this community. And just the overall spirit in this place is something that's really been a blessing for me and those that I've been able to spend time with. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I know you've been doing a lot of things with Easter. Easter is a particular celebration for Christ our Redeemer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before, we do a community egg hunt, which we normally have 300 to 500 people show up for that. So it's, and Halloween night, we do the Halloween night outreach with warming stations, usually, again, about 500 people for that. So we're a very community-focused congregation. It's about taking the good news of Jesus out to our community by connecting with people in ways that can relate to and that really make a difference today and tomorrow.
That's pretty cool. Both of your histories here, and Pastor Catherine, I hope you get that grace to stay, because for the kids too, your children, to have that longevity in one place. It's
Well, so again, the topic here is that we want to talk about the meaning of Christmas, and specifically the meaning of Christmas for the both of you as teachers of the faith. But let's start with the reason for the season. It's right there in the name, Christmas. It's celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. But who was Jesus Christ? He was a historical figure. But why don't we start with you, Pastor Catherine. Who was Jesus Christ for you? And why is this holiday so important for you?
Oh, gosh, that's a big question for a pastor. I don't even know where to begin. Jesus is everything. He changed the world. I think we take for granted so much that happens. Whether or not you're a believer or not, he literally changed the world. Something special happened that day, a gift, a blessing. And for me, Jesus, and everything he did it with love. He did it with kindness. He loved everybody, whether you were poor or rich. Whether you're a star athlete or couldn't see where you're going next, Jesus was there for the broken. If you were a woman at a well and you were alone and been shuffled around because of society, God loves you. And Jesus, he's everything. Mm. Yeah.
So that was the message. That is the message.
Yeah.
Is that this birth, that celebrating Christmas, is significant because it did change the world. Is
absolutely
what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Pastor Steve, take a whack at that.
Actually, I go right to the name itself, Jesus and Christ. The name Jesus means he saves. Now, people are very independent. I've noticed that, especially in North Idaho. We're a very independent folk. Same thing when I lived up in Alaska. What do I need to be saved from? What's the big deal about that? But I think we all realize we struggle with things. We do things that are not helpful for others. We do things that hurt others. To be blunt, we do things that our Lord isn't real thrilled about. We need a Savior, someone who comes to bring us hope, someone who comes to bring us life. And in order to do that, it has to be someone special. Think of the name Christ. That means the anointed or chosen one. So someone had to be chosen to do this. Our Lord said, I love my people so much, that I'm going to send my own son as the chosen one to make a difference for eternity. And we don't have a distant God. We don't have a God who's out there somewhere that we cannot experience, that we cannot see active in our lives. We have a God who said, I love you enough. I'm coming in the form of a baby, and I'm going to do what it takes to restore a broken relationship and bring you back to me forever.
Mm-hmm. Christmas, of course, celebrates his birth, and his birth was very unusual. I mean, the record is that he was born of a family of very modest means, Mary and Joseph, and he was born actually in a manger, you know, which is basically a stable, I guess. How was that important to the holiday? What's the significance of the birth of Jesus in these circumstances?
For me, it shows us that our God is willing to take on human form. He's willing to do things in a simple way. I mean, he's God. He could have come any way he wanted to, could have come to all kinds of acclaim. Shouldn't a king be born in a palace? Shouldn't a king come to royal acclaim? But our Lord said, no, I'm going to make it simple. Just as you and I live simple lives. I'm going to come as promised. You look through the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, and it repeatedly makes promises of the Savior to come. And not just that he's coming, but how he would come and what he would do for us. And by coming as a baby, by coming to a young family, by coming in such a simple way, it actually answered all of those promises made in, again, what we call the Old Testament, the first 39 books of the Bible. This wasn't just a random act. This was all planned out by our Lord from all the way back when there was the first break, Genesis 3:15. Adam and Eve in that story. God had a plan, and this was part of the plan to keep it so basic.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Catherine, same question to you. What is the significance to you of the tradition that Christ was born of such modest means and in a manger, in a stable?
Yeah. Mm. Well, I take it, to me, the significance coming in and out of foster care is, I think God was intentional about the place of birth. I think it was more than the simplicity. It was meant to show that God was there for the broken. God was there for those that have no rooms. God was there for those who are sleeping in their cars. God is there for those who are freezing right now, just wanting a piece of hope. To me, it signifies everything. You know, Jesus, they had asked him in his ministry at times, oh, would you come be our king? Would you come be our town leader? And he's like, no, I'm coming differently. He's came in a different way to change us, to live through servitude. I mean, everything we do as a disciple of Christ is to serve and to love the way that Jesus did, and he did from the day he was born.
It makes me wonder how a person today in this very commercial picture of Christmas can pull back and come into themselves with this idea. It's like bringing consciousness to a very wild and noisy place at the same time. So finding that place of quiet and peace so you can reflect on some of these ideas. Catherine, do you have some thoughts on that? How a regular person could, besides going to church and being with the community of believers, but generally.
Yeah. I think it's important to remind ourselves that when we live through the nativity, we remember that Joseph and Mary had to do something for the government. Taxes were due. A census was out. They had to travel 100 miles, right? Like, it was a lot of work for them. So when you look around and your job is giving you more hours, or you're exhausted and you have to stay a double shift or you're going to lose your job, that to remind yourself that this is pretty similar to what Joseph and Mary, you know, they still had things going on, their family growing, and they still had to do things for the government. But in that chaos is is God, and to find that centering piece. And so something I do in my life that I think anybody could do is, I know people get too many candles these days, but I still like candles. I like to light a candle and to say a prayer, to think about all those that are suffering, to pray for them, to love them, those that are in my heart, and to lean into that. Cup of tea, something simple.
Pastor Steve.
We are bombarded mm-hmm. with commercialism. You need this for $29.95. You can have the perfect Christmas. Okay, maybe for some they'd find happiness in that, but I get tired of this. I need a break. And here, the Lord who loves us so dearly is saying, why don't you step back and see the love and see the simplicity and see the care that I have for you? I mean, the commercialism is always going to be there, mm-hmm. especially in our society today. And you can say, I'm done with it. Well, it's still going to be there. Mm-hmm. The reality is this. The Lord says, step back, see what I'm doing. And it's not just Christmas morning that matters. It's every day. Every day for followers of Jesus is a little Christmas and a little Easter. And that really makes a difference when we're just being overwhelmed with all the things the world is throwing at us. Our Lord loves us. He wants to desperately be in a relationship with us, and he wants to be with us all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, to get back to the story of the birth, the Bible teaches us that he was born of the Virgin Mary. What does the virgin birth contribute to the meaning of Christmas? Pastor Catherine, why don't you take that one on?
Oh, man. I feel like the Lutherans should go first because they have a heavier stance. Maybe the Lutherans?
Okay.
There you go.
I'm willing to take that one. Again, it goes back to Isaiah, one of the Old Testament books, that there was a promise made that this child would be conceived of a virgin. And again, God works in ways we might never expect. And this is just another example where our Lord, it's fun to see all these promises being fulfilled, that the virgin birth, it's not a normal birth, but at the same time, it's exactly what our Lord had promised. And we just, again, see our Lord working in ways we might never expect to bring about what we could not do on our own.
Yeah.
And you know, why the virgin birth? I simply go back to the Lord said it was going to be that way in Isaiah and other places. And he followed through. He makes promises. He keeps them.
Hmm. Pastor Catherine.
Oh, For me, the virgin birth is one of those examples where, Christmas morning, kids get so excited about presents. And then oftentimes children are more excited about the box than the actual gift inside. And so to me, I know this would be probably why I broke away from Catholicism, but I'm less focused on the virgin birth aspect. I feel like we get so focused on the box or the exterior that we forget the heart and the meaning that for our lives today. And so, but I do think there's significance, and I think that God is a holy mystery. When I think about God as a holy mystery, so I brought with you guys the way I look at it and how to enjoy it. And it says, this is a litany of the incarnation by Lucian Dies. O God, the ruler of ages eternal, you are without beginning or end, yet you choose to be born an infant in time. Praise to you, O Lord. O God, the invisible, you are the one whom nobody has seen or can see, yet you assume the face of the Son of Mary. Praise to you, O Lord. O God, all-powerful, you hold the mountains in your palm of your hand, yet you yourself will be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Praise to you, O Lord. O God, the eternal God, innumerable angels acclaim your endlessly. Yet you choose to be rocked to sleep by the songs of the daughter of David. Praise to you, O Lord. O God, the universal provider, you feed every creature, yet you choose to hunger for the milk of your mother. Praise to you, O Lord. O God, the infinite heaven and earth cannot contain you, yet you rest in the arms of Mary. Praise to you, O Lord. O God, the perfect joy, you are the source of the happiness of heaven and earth, yet you cry like a little child. Praise to you, O Lord.
And that is reading is from, again?
Litany of the Incarnation from Lucian Dies. I'm probably not saying it right. I should ask the Lutheran.
No. Dice or Dies. Yeah, it could be either way.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's circle back to the whole thing of gift giving, right? One way I've always looked at the tradition of giving gifts, there's such a big part of Christmas. It's probably the predominant part for a lot of people, especially people that are more secular and are celebrating the holiday for reasons that aren't necessarily based on this faith tradition. How does that idea come from the idea that Jesus was a gift to humanity from God? Or how do you approach this idea of giving gifts as part of the Christmas tradition?
We're looking at each other.
I know.
Go first.
Okay, I'll take the hit this time. Okay. No, for me personally, I struggle with the whole gift-giving focus. Like I talked about being a foster kid, we would come back from Christmas holidays. We'd have these beautiful Christmas services. I remember feeling so much love in church. I remember the bells, the choirs, the hope, the joy. And then you come back and you hear about this guy named Santa Claus who gave gifts to all the bullies and all the rich kids. And then all the poor kids got like nothing. And it broke the joy. So for me, gift giving, it's not my favorite. My kiddos get a few things from Santa in their stocking just because I don't want them to feel left out. Usually like a toothbrush and candy. They go hand in hand. But in my house, we just do three presents for kids. Like Jesus got three, you know, the three wise men. And we just keep it simple. And we remind them that we're here for God. And so.
Do you work with your children on maybe making gifts for the grandparents or for relatives or friends? And maybe have some kind of a homemade gift exchange so that they also can feel the giving spirit in a good way, in a simple way.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We, Rowan, my husband and I would take each kid and we would do the giving tree. You know, you take a tag and you go find the gifts. Rowan loves it so much. The other day, he stuffed like five in his pocket. We had to talk to him about budgets.
That's a giving tree where you pick a name and then you get a gift for some unknown
person. Right. Somebody you don't know.
In need.
Yeah. So we do that one. We also do our big gift to Jesus and we talk about a charity and it's usually a couple $100 of like what symbolizes. Right now, we've been leaning towards Somalia. That's the hunger crisis, the famine. So we do a big gift for Jesus. But
and your church also has a soup kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They do a community meal every Thursday from 4 to 6 in Sandpoint United Methodist Church. It's a community meal. Really, you get everybody from all spectrums. You get tired moms who just got off a work shift and picked up the kids. You get construction workers that are doing different jobs here in Sandpoint, and they want a cooked meal. Mm-hmm. So everybody's welcome.
So bringing a child to maybe the Christmas soup kitchen and having them help serve or something like that is also a way to possibly instill in them the idea of giving.
Yeah, definitely. We also started Messy Church, so we do that. It's a craft time. So between 5 to 6, this Thursday, we're going to do a Christmas party, but we do crafts with any ages, any size.
Make something special. And
Pastor Steve.
I think when it comes to gift giving, the question I ask, and this is not cynical, is why do we do this? I'm really good at asking people, why do we do this? And not to be obnoxious, why do we give gifts? Well, it's Christmas. We're supposed to give gifts. Why is that? And what I keep coming back to is I have no issues at all with gift giving as long as we do not lose the focus as we're doing here, the focus for the season. And again, you mentioned it in the introduction. It comes back to, in a sense, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the greatest gift of all. Now, we could never match what Jesus gave us because he gave everything. We're talking his life. That's more than I can put under a tree. And again, I have no issue at all with giving gifts. It's just, why are we doing this? Does it point us back to the real reason for the season and the gift of Jesus for us?
Or does gift giving get so out of hand that it distracts? I think you alluded to that. Distracts or takes you away from the true reason.
I mean, hey, as a kid, I love Christmas morning. Woohoo! It's gift time. But my parents were very clear. The reason we're doing this, it's because of Jesus. His gift for us.
Well, actually, that segues right into a thought I had in the shower this morning.
Scary how I do that.
the way we feel about Christmas is really imprinted on us, I think, as our from our experiences when we're children. And people have a variety of experiences as children. I'm just curious about what your experiences as children were that kind of set the table for how you feel about Christmas today. And yours was probably complicated.
Yeah, mine's probably not the norm. And it's tricky because I think about my work in domestic violence shelters. Violence goes up around, you know, Super Bowl, Thanksgiving, Christmas, drinking goes up. Methodist churches, no alcohol allowed. So if you're AA, welcome. So I take a calmer, I know it sounds cliche, but I really do just love God so deeply that I just want to keep it about God. And I don't want it to be about the drinking and the partying. I don't want it to be about buying gifts you can't afford. I don't want it to be about that. I want it to be about community coming together and saying each one of you matters to God so much that he sent his only son.
As I think back as a child, I even mentioned this in my message on Sunday, some families, and this can be a good thing, have invented a gazillion traditions of what must have. We have to do this at this time. We have this food. We serve Christmas meal at this time, which, okay, but I step back from that. Why, again, why are we doing this? And I remember as a child, we had fairly simple Christmases. It's a typical gift exchange. We'd go see the lights. It was family. In that sense, it was fairly normal. But at the same time, our focus, it wasn't so much going to church. And that sometimes gets on me. Well, we have to go to church as though it's legalistic. We got to do this or we're going to lose points with God. It's important. Do not misquote me. But at the same point, if we make it, okay, it's Christmas, we got to go to church, is that really the angle the Lord wants us to have? It's about wanting to be with our Lord, about wanting to see his gifts and his great love and reach for us. I remember as a kid being involved in the Christmas programs. They weren't necessarily my favorite as a child. Okay, we're dressing you up as a lamb today. Okay, this may be a bad idea. But at the same, sorry about that. I throw those in occasionally.
I got it.
Yeah. Sorry for those listening. I hope that didn't scare you too much. Anyway, those are important. But, you know, why do we do the Christmas program? Oh, so Grandma and Grandpa will be happy. No, it's to share the good news of Jesus and his love for us. Mm-hmm. I think back to our little lambs. We have a preschool, pre-kindergarten, and kindergarten as part of our congregation, 52 students. And they shared in their own 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old voices the joy of the season. And it was all focused on the one who was born on Christmas Eve. And that made the difference. I mean, yes, it was, oh, look, my little grandson's up front and he's singing. It's awesome. Yeah, that's part of it. But what's the message there? How many people are being touched with this incredible message?
If you're just tuning in, this is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And today we're talking with Pastor Steve Heinzen of Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church and Pastor Catherine Lyle from United Methodist Church. And it's our annual Reason for the Season show. And how many times have we done this now?
I would say seven.
Seventh.
It was your idea, but it's been a nice tradition for us to kind of calm down the crazy Christmas energy now.
And each year we've invited different pastors in, and we have had the Catholic pastor in and the priest, and I can't even remember all the different pastors that have been in to talk about what the meaning of Christmas is for them. And with that, let's talk about something that is kind of a societal issue. And that's really the sadness of Christmas for some. There's no question that for some folks, Christmas becomes a time of sorrow. That might be because of remembering loved ones that have passed on or because they have anxiety. Maybe they feel like they're not living up to the expectation they can give their kids big presents.
Or they're alone.
Or they're alone. That's right. And the loneliness really comes to rest on this sort of holiday. What words do you have for folks that are feeling this sadness or anxiety?
Christmas largely brings back many memories. And that, you throw those memories in with loss. have not the last 2.5 to 3 years been full of loss? I think within my own congregation, we've had 5 deaths this year, which is quite a bit more than normal for us. And when you lose someone that you dearly, dearly love, or one case, you know, I think of one, his wife of 69 years just passed recently. That's a major life change. And one of the things at this time of the year, you think back to those memories of Christmas past. What do you say to someone like that? Number one, thank God for the blessings that those loved ones provided. For those that are lonely, thank God that we have a Lord that is with you regardless of what you're dealing with. For those that are in difficult situations, your Lord cares. And that's so important to remember. Does it necessarily fix their immediate issues? It may not. But at the same time, to know you are never alone. Never. And that's a message we desperately need. And after what's been a time of isolation, a time of intense stress, and to know that through it all, the Lord walked us through it. It wasn't pretty, but at the same time, the Lord is still with us.
In a practical sense, how do you reach out to someone who might be feeling lonely or having a hard time because it doesn't make sense for some reason? Mm-hmm. And just in your ministry practically or in your own lives, how would you, Catherine, you can chime in too, how do you just make sure you know and keep them in the fold, so to speak, and bring people closer into the group?
Yeah, I think this is an important message, and I want to say this loud and clear to folks, especially younger folks. You got to pick up the phone. You've got to reach out, even if it's leaving a voice message. A lot of times people think, I mean, I've done text messages. I think those are great, too, but we live in a generation of solitariness, and we think nobody wants to hear from us, or, you know, we get those negative thoughts and that darkness overshadows. But pick up the phone, go visit, be present in different ways. My biggest thing, and I'm not encouraging everybody does it, but I love Christmas cards, and so I still do the family Christmas. I know it's, but to me, it's meaningful, and it's a way to reach out. God gifts everybody with different graces. If you have a musical gift, find a church to sing at. I mean, give the gift. My husband and I went and had dinner last weekend, and they had your guys' the high school's orchestra choir coming in and doing their fundraising, and they sang, and they were wonderful, and it was such a pleasant surprise. Be present. Mm-hmm. Call. Pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. Just get out there.
So I'm hearing you say pay attention. If you know someone that might be having a little bit of a hard time or is alone, invite them over for Christmas dinner. Include them. Mm-hmm. There are people out there. Just pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And Pastor Steve?
It comes down to presence, not presents under the tree, but presence. Something, as Catherine mentioned, something as simple as a phone call, as a contact, whatever form. I mean, with all the crud going around right now, sometimes that close personal contact is not advisable, especially if they are having immunity issues or other health issues. But simply presence. In whatever form it takes, means the world. We're more connected in some ways than ever with, you know, internet. I mean, a lot of churches, a lot of places figured out when COVID hit, we have to do this in order to stay connected. Mm-hmm. That's part of it, but it's not the answer.
Well, what I was going to say is it just dawned on me that the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God is love and caring. Mm-hmm. And so you can epitomize that, or you can be that in your own life by paying attention, reaching out, and being that caring neighbor, that caring person, because you're touching someone's heart, and it can make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Be that in real life.
Mm-hmm. And there's no one way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Ideally, it's personal. Mm-hmm. It's in person, but again, you know, again, with all the crud going around right now, you do have to be cautious. That's also being loving.
Sure.
Is being cautious. Mm-hmm. Presence makes the difference.
Pastor Catherine, you said that you like Christmas cards.
Mm-hmm.
It brought to mind to me the thought that, well, how has social media affected this holiday? And yesterday I received an electronic Christmas card from somebody. And it was kind of cute, you know, that I assume that my friend paid somebody a fee, and it's a little skit that plays out. But it's different than receiving a card in the mail. Yeah. It was an expression of, you know, I'm thinking of somebody, even mm-hmm. though it went to a blind copy mailing list.
Yeah.
Is social media helping or hurting the way we observe Christmas, I wonder?
For me personally, I feel like it's all a balance. So you can't say one thing or another. Like in some ways it's good because you can hear about communities in need, or you can network to get supplies, you know, to Ukraine or different things like that. But overall, I think it's hurting us. I mean, studies show the more time kids spend on social media, the more depressed they get and different things like that. We have got to unplug. We've got to put the cell phones down and look across the table. I can't tell you. So when I spent a year at Rockwood Retirement Communities, the generations, they would keep old birthday cards, Christmas cards. They would re-look at those cards. They were tangible. You could touch them. And even when they lost their eyesight, which was fairly common, they would still touch the tops of the Christmas cards and know which one that was from. That was from their husband. That was from their daughter that died. Or put down the phones and just be presents and write a card, give a hug. I know we've got to be careful, and you've got to be conscientious if you know, viruses and people where they're at, but we have got to be present or we suffer.
Mm-hmm. And the distraction of social media over the top, you know, everyone needs to check their messages, right? But over the top, turn around and see what's out there besides what's on your hand, in the palm of your hand, in the shape of a piece of plastic.
Because when you look at the Gospel of Luke and he talks about the Christmas, it's about a community coming together. You know, the shepherds weren't out in the field and said, okay, God, great, I'm glad somebody was born. I'm gonna go send them a digital email. No, you get your butt there and you go and you be present. And so it's about community coming together.
Yeah, social media is a mixed bag. I see so many positives for it, but at the same time, it can also be an effective tool, but as she said, it's about presence. Mm-hmm. And there's just no replacement for one-on-one where it's humanly possible. And again, with the expansion of social media, I just think from the church end, you know, we've been able to get more things out digitally. That's something I've really emphasized since this whole thing blew up 2.5 years ago. And we've expanded. We're still kind of in the prehistoric stage where I'm at. But at the same time, it's yet another means to share the good news. But it's not to replace what has been happening. So I see it as a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord allowed social media to happen. It's how do we use it that makes the difference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no question. It can be a force for really positive things, but as we've seen, it's also can be really detrimental to the shared common ground that we all partake of. That where people are using it in really destructive ways. Yeah. So, anyways, that's social media. Well, we're angling towards the end of this show, and I just want to invite you each to give us any other thoughts that you have on Christmas, and also tell us about the services that your church is having.
Yeah, Sandpoint United Methodist Church is having our service at 7 p.m. It's a quiet candlelight service, very much more calmer. My sons and I are pretty excited. We're going to sing together Mary Lined a Basket, and it's a beautiful story about the different moms. And everyone is welcome. Candlelights, we have a unique congregation. We have both homeless and local folks that have been here a long time worshiping together, so I love it. So if you like that mixed bag, come on over. Christmas Day at Sandpoint, because we're at 9 a.m. service typically, we're lending off other services. The Presbyterian Church has one at 10:30 in different places around town, the Episcopals, and we are taking that one off. But I'll be in Bonner's Ferry Christmas Day at 11 a.m., and we're having a family, and we're doing a Jesse tree. So I don't know if you've ever heard of a Jesse tree, but we do different ornaments from Genesis to creation and Christmas carols. And then Bonner's Ferry has a 3 p.m. service I'm also leading, and we have different musical people bring in their gifts. They're very talented music gifts up there. Their family services at 3 p.m. in Bonner's Ferry United Methodist, and all are welcome. Mm-hmm.
So that's Christmas Eve, 7 p.m.
Yep, 7 p.m.
In Sandpoint. And then in Bonner's Ferry?
3 p.m.
At 3 p.m.
And then Christmas Day at 11 in Bonner's.
Okay.
Yeah.
For some closing thoughts, when it comes to Christmas, the message here is you are loved. You have a Lord who loves you dearly, who cared enough to come to this earth, who cared enough to make a difference that lasts eternally. And we have an opportunity to celebrate that as community. How are we doing that? At Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, we're located at 1900 Pine Street. We're right across from the YMCA and next to Traverse Park. Christmas Eve, this Saturday, we will have 5 and 7 o'clock traditional candlelight services. And yes, Christmas morning, we are having our normal 10 o'clock, but it will be a service of lessons and carols, which I've used coming up on 30 years now in the ministry. So a very traditional form with readings and music telling the story of not just Jesus being born, but why? What set this up? Why did he need to come? And what difference does it make today and tomorrow? So Christmas Eve, 5 and 7 o'clock, traditional candlelight. Christmas Day, 10 o'clock, service of lessons and carols.
Very good.
Pastor Steve Heinzen from the Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church and Pastor Catherine Lyle from United Methodist Church, just want to say thank you so much for coming in and sharing your thoughts with us today. Yeah.
Have a wonderful holiday and Christmas in your, with your family and your congregation.
Thank you for providing this opportunity to share the news.
Well, Chris, we should let our listeners know, if you didn't hear all of this interview today, the reason for the season with our two pastors, you can go to our website at KRFY.org, and it will be on there later on today.
Yes, as a podcast you can hear, and we'll pass that on to you two pastors, too. You can pass it on to your congregations and see if they'd like to hear.
Okay, what else?
And that's it. That's all I have to
talk about. I was going
to
bring the weather. We're currently still at 9 degrees, but the wind chill is a minus 9, so stay warm, stay safe out there.
It's breezy out there.
It's breezy.
Yeah.
And we're going to go out with some really great music. Hey, I know you have a granddaughter in town, so enjoy that.
Yes, I have a 2-year-old.
Oh, my gosh.
If you want to really feel Christmas spirit, nothing wakes it up like having a little child there.
Oh,
although she's just kind of figuring things out right now.
As she should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and bring traditions into your family that have meaning. And as both pastors say, be present with what's going on. See who you can reach out to. Bring kindness and love and generosity into our world. That's a good thing to do. So we're going to go out with some music, Christmas music. Up first is Nat King Cole, the Christmas song. I hope, Chris, that you have a beautiful holiday, and everyone take
good care. Same with you, Susie, and Merry Christmas to all of our listeners,
too. We'll see you next Wednesday.